Tonight for the privilege you've given me to be here with you. And I ask an interest in your prayers for just a few minutes. I assure you that I will not be here long. I know you've had a long day. And these children prove it. I understand that. My little boy one time, bless his heart, he been drug around the church 2 or 3 days. And he finally, we got back over at home and he locked himself in the bathroom. And his grandmother came around the corner of the building and said, "I can't get Jackson out of the bathroom." I said, "I believe I can get him out." I went around there and I knocked on the door and I said, "Jackson, why have you locked yourself in the bathroom?" He said, "I don't want to hear no more preaching." I know some of these children are like that tonight, so I'm sympathetic with them. And I'm not going to keep you very long tonight. The Holy Bible is pervaded, and these brethren have taught it, although they didn't use the term. The Holy Bible is pervaded with the fact of the purpose of God. Now don't forget that. Now when I say the purpose of God, I mean the intent of God. What is God's intent? What is God's purpose? Well, one of the fundamental texts that we would use would be found in the 9th chapter of the Roman letter. Romans chapter 9, verse 11. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Somebody asked me one time, said, "Brother Ricky," said, "election cuts too many people out." Brother, election didn't cut anybody out. Election, what cut you in?
Yeah, that's right.
Election's what cut you in. Now, if that's right, then God's purpose was in election. You hear somebody say, "Well, God chose out of the fallen race of Adam." God didn't choose anybody out of the fallen race of Adam. God chose them before they fell in Adam.
Yeah.
The purpose of God. What is God's intent? Brother Wood talked about the mystery. Read Ephesians chapter 3. To the intent that it might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, the mystery that had been kept secret since the world began, now had been revealed like it had never been revealed before. And the intent was that the church might know that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs and of the same body, understanding that the very hope of glory in them did not come by the gospel, did not come by what they said, what they did, or keeping the law. But the mystery among the Gentiles, what do you say, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now what was the mystery? The mystery was that they'd never heard the gospel and had the hope of glory anyway. That was the mystery. Now in the preaching of the gospel, Christ is not offered, but he is displayed. Do you hear what I said? He is not offered, but he is displayed. That he is manifest. The purpose of God in sending his only begotten Son into the world to be the first begotten from the dead is that you could have did all the miracles. He could have seen all the miracles that you saw. Turned the water to wine. At the wedding feast at Galilee, he did all the miracles that he did. But had he never been resurrected from the dead, he could have never been truly identified as the Son of God. That was proof positive that he was who he said he was. All right, now, for just a few minutes, and I'm going to let you go right now. I'm going to use 17 minutes, all right? 17 minutes. Now, I said the Holy Bible is pervaded with the fact of the purpose of God. In Genesis chapter 50, I want you to turn to verse 20, and that's going to be my text. I'm not going to read it to you until I get through, all right? I'm going to preach up to that. Now, there are many beautiful pictures of the Son of God in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Now, we have the reality of it in the New Testament, but back in the Old Testament, we have those beautiful pictures. And I want to put that in the right kind of frame for you tonight. You know, a picture is a picture just the same, but you know, it's always enhanced by the kind of frame that it's in. So let's put it in the right kind of frame tonight. There was a time when a man by the name of Jacob had 12 sons. Now you understand about Jacob. Understand about Jacob. His name, what does it mean? It means surplanter. Surplanter. Now, what did I use for you a while ago? Go back over in the Romans chapter 9. Who do you find talked about over there? You find about Jacob, don't you? You find about Jacob. Now, you know, our brethren, over the almost 45 years that I've been preaching, you could hear a lot of things about Jacob and Esau. One says he's a spirit in the flesh. The other says he's the old man, the new man. All that kind of thing. Brother, I want to tell you right now that in the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, we have God's intent. We have God's purpose displayed. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. That he loved Jacob, and that he hated, and that it simply means that which is personal, with a personal hatred. You know, it's a hard pill for folks to understand, and the Arminian especially, to have the idea that God just doesn't love everybody and give everybody a chance to be saved. Well, friend, I want to tell you right now that God doesn't do business on a chance system. Every sinner that's ever been saved was saved on purpose. God did that on purpose. When Lazarus was raised, he's raised on purpose. When the gospel is preached, he's preached on purpose. When Jesus died, he died on purpose. When he rose on purpose. And when he went back to heaven on purpose. That was God's intent. That was what God's intent was. Now, Jacob had 12 sons. But he had two sons that he showed partiality to, didn't he? Who were they? Benjamin and Joseph. Why? Because they were the beloved sons of his beloved Rachel. Didn't make any bones about it. Showed partiality. Got him in trouble. Now you may have several children. I want to tell you right now, if you show partiality to children, it got Jacob in trouble. It'll get you in trouble. Don't you forget that. I'm not going to charge you for that. I'm going to be gone in a minute. But you understand it's going to get you in trouble. That's right. Jacob loved Joseph to the degree that his partiality was such that he gave him a coat of many colors. And this is a long story and it's hard to make it short. But he gave him that coat of many colors, and that green-eyed monster called jealousy rose up. Well, we find out that through the course of several events that Joseph is sold off into bondage. Let me ask you something tonight and use some common sense. Do you think that Joseph being sold into bondage happened by accident? You know better than that. You've got more sense than that. God's purpose was that Joseph be down in Egypt. Why was it? That there might be much people saved alive. Read the text that I showed you in Genesis 15, 20. Now don't go away from here and say, I said that God ordered the sin of those other brothers to sell him off into bondage. I didn't say that and I didn't preach that, and the Bible doesn't teach that.
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing though. God overruled their sin for their good and his glory. God not only rules, but he super rules and overrules. Don't you forget that. Don't you forget it. All right. Down in the land of Egypt, Joseph becomes great. He does. And then Potiphar's wife begins to make some improper advances against him. And he left his garment there and fled from her. I tell you, it's better to lose his coat than his character, amen? Better to lose his coat than his character. Because of these improper advances and falsehood that was told, he spent many years in a dungeon rotting. But now, through the purpose and the providence of God, and I'm going to tell you this, don't fight fatalism so hard that you lose sight of the purpose of God. You hear me? That's right. Now, notice what takes place. Joseph now interprets some dreams. He comes and he now becomes great in the land again. And now these boys that sold him off into bondage are going to have to come down there and deal with the very one that they thought was dead. All right. Listen now. They come down there. And you know what? Joseph knew who they were. But they didn't know who he was. You know, there's a plenty of God's children that are just in that shape today.
Yeah, right. Amen.
God knows who they are, but they don't really understand who he is. And I'll tell you right now, when God's child come to the realization of who Jesus is, he's going to see God too big to need any help and you too little to give him any. That's what God's purpose is going to do. And I affirm to you today, they didn't know who he was, but he knew who they were. And do you know what? He begins to talk to them about Benjamin, doesn't he? Talk to him about Benjamin. I still got 7-8 minutes left. He begins to talk to him about Benjamin. Now why? That's his full brother. They even brought Benjamin down there. And you know what? When they brought Benjamin down there, you know what Joseph told him? Now he said, the rest of you is going to get 3 changes of raiment, but to Benjamin, I'm going to give him 5. I'm going to give him 5. What does that tell you? You know what the number 5 is? It's a number of grace and favor. Joseph was showing grace and favor to a man, or his brother, his full brother named Benjamin. To those other brothers, he gave them three plates or three offerings of food. But to Benjamin, he gave him five. Yeah. Put all that together. I'll not belabor that point, but I want to tell you right now, God is working behind the scenes. God is doing that. Don't charge God with sin. Sin is repugnant to God. Don't say that God is the order and the worker of sin. God doesn't do that. Sin is of man. Sin to the devil. And I'll tell you right now that when you sin, don't you lay that charge to God.
Amen.
You put it where it belongs. You put it with you.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir. But I'll tell you one thing. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
Amen. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Well, finally, they go up there. And you know, Jacob mourned for Joseph, didn't he? Jacob mourned for Joseph. And as they went down into Egypt, and as they buy that corn, and as they bring it back in the wagons, you remember that Jacob had wrestled all night with an angel, and he went away from there, and he was a cripple all the days of his life. And you know what? I can just see that old man, Lloyd, look out the windows and see those oxen and those wagons coming, Brother Jimmy. And you know what he said? He said, "It's enough." That's what he said. It's enough. Jacob's alive. Or Joseph's alive. Joseph's alive. And I'm going to go down there. Where is that?
Yeah.
He dragged that old crippled leg up to that window. Look out there. And he said, "It's enough." Brother, I want to tell you right now. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, it was enough. When Jesus came, it was enough. When he did that which was ordered of God, it was enough. And God was satisfied with that. The weakness of the law was shown by the repetition of the sacrifice. It had to be done over and over and over again. But the Bible said, with this man, when he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down, one sacrifice, God was satisfied. So satisfied, he never required another sacrifice. Yes, sir. Never required another sacrifice. Now I want to tell you that Jacob came down there and he lived till he died down there. Let me get on through this pretty quick. He lived till he died down there. And when he died, those boys said, "Now surely our father's dead, and now Joseph will take vengeance on us." Old Jacob died. Now they said, "He'll take vengeance on us now." Listen to what Joseph said. "As for me, ye meant evil against me."
Yeah.
Not God. Not God, but ye meant evil against me.
Amen, brother.
But God meant it unto good. To save much people alive this day.
Yeah.
Why did God do that? What was God's purpose? To save a starving nation, didn't it? That's right. To save a starving nation. Brought them all down there. I want to tell you right now, when men put the Lord Jesus Christ to death, and don't think that men didn't do it, men did. That old brother Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:23, he said, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye, not me, but ye by wicked hands, have taken and crucified and slain."
Yes.
You did it. They did what they wanted to. But I want to tell you one thing. God overruled everything that did.
Amen.
God overruled everything that they did. For His glory and our good, His purpose was intent. And I affirm to you today that when Jesus died, God's purpose was good, and God's purpose was intentional. And when Jesus died and He raised Him from the dead, wicked men did what they wanted to. They put Him to death. But God overruled their wickedness and brought good to us, glory to Himself.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Aren't you glad that God's able to do that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Don't charge God with wickedness. Don't charge God with wickedness. I never will forget one time. I'll wind up with this right now. I was working one time, and there was an old gentleman came around to me one day, and The man came around to him and he was working, and he said, "This gentleman's going to help you right here." They called me the preacher and said, "Now the preacher's going to take care of you." Well, he went around there, and while he was there, he walked up there and he said, "They tell me you're a preacher." And I said, "Well, I am. I serve 3 or 4 churches out on the mountain." He said, "Well, I'm a preacher too." I said, "Well, that's great." I said, "Where do you preach at?" He told me over around Huntsville somewhere, and so I said, "Well, what do you preach?" He said, "Well, you probably wouldn't know much about it." I said, "Well, I like to hear about religion." I said, "Tell me about it." Well, he said this. He said, "I believe that everyone that'll ever live in heaven, God purposed to save them before the world began." I like to shout. I like to shout. I said, "Well, brother, tell me some more." That rung the bell, you know. I said, "Tell me some more about it." He said, "Well," he said, "I believe that all of them are going to be called by the Holy Spirit and not by the means of men." I said, "Tell me some more." He said, "All of them are going to finally be housed in heaven." I said, "If you're not a Primitive Baptist, you ought to be." He said, "I've been one for 52 years. We had a good time. I'll tell you one thing." We began to talk, and he brought up the subject, and he said, "You know, Brother Ricky," he said, "here he is." He said, he pulled up his sleeve, and he said, "My hand is old and rough." And he pulled mine up, and he said this. He said, "Yours is white." But he said, I think about Joseph's coat of many colors. When those boys sold him off into bondage, they took that coat and they dipped it in animal's blood. And then when they dipped it in animal's blood, all those colors became one color under the blood. I'll tell you right now, when we today can see the purpose of God in the salvation of sinners, when we can see that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, when we can see that in the purpose of God and the eternal counsels of his wisdom, what seems evil to man, I'll tell you, God's able to overrule it and raise up glory to himself. And I affirm to you today that when Jesus came into the world, the purpose of God was done. And as Christ himself began that journey and ended it up at the cross, they challenged his divinity, didn't they? They said, "If you're really the Son of God, save thyself and us. If you're really who you say you are, come down from the cross." They challenged his divinity. Yeah, Satan did that, didn't he? Immediately after he was baptized, carried him up into that mountain. And you know what? He said, "If you're really the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." You know what Jesus said to him? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what word that proceedeth out the mouth of the Son of Man." I affirm to you today that the purpose of God in Christ was typified and pictured in that great shepherd of Joseph. But I'll tell you, as we come on down and I close with these thoughts, that the blood of Jesus Christ being shed and the insufficiency of the blood of the bulls and the goats. Listen now to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, "Know ye not that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, or from the vain conversation received by what? By tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily what? Foreordained before the foundation of the world, was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, who raised up Jesus from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in him." I'll tell you right now today, friend, if you're able to see the Lord Jesus Christ as these brethren have taught him today, listen to what Hebrews said, and somebody may have quoted it if they didn't, they ought to have. The Bible says this: "For God, who at times, sundry times and divers manners, spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power." Listen, when it by himself had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. By himself, one time he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
Thank God today, brother, there's that precious foundation. There's the doctrine of Christ. Somebody says, "Well, preacher, we need to preach more practical things." Well, let me tell you right now, you know what? When you preach doctrine, you preach practical.
Amen.
Hear me? Practical things. All I'm saying is that it all needs to be preached.
Amen.
It all needs to be preached. But when we come to under the heading of doctrine, don't we? Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me."
Yes,
yes, sir. Jesus said that. I didn't say it. "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Everything in the Bible Jesus teaches us is doctrine, his teachings.
Amen.
Now, when he says doctrines, that's another ballgame. You know that? Doctrines in the plural. When he says doctrines, he always has reference to falsehood. Every time. Check it out. Every time. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Jesus said, my doctrine in the singular. My doctrine in the singular. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things out here in this world. It's not too good a news, are they?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it today. I get calls across my desk all the time. That's right, I heard it today. Government's going to shut down. Yeah, it's going to shut down. You hear that? Y'all want to think about it? Government's going to shut down. Everything's. I don't think the way they talk in the sun is going to come up in the morning. Yeah. I got news for you, friend. They can do what they want to. They can say what they want to. They can shut out all they want to. God's still on the throne. His purpose is still intact. And bless God, one of these days after a while, he's going to say, it's enough. It's enough. And he'll fold it up like a tent. You hear me? Yes, sir. He'll fold the tent. One of these days, I'm going to fold it up. I'm going to fold it. Paul understood that. Yes, sir. Talked about a tabernacle or a tent. He understood about folding the tent. He'd move it. I mean, when the tent was folded, it was ready to move. Thank God today, my friend. You and I today, if we understand the work of Christ, the purpose of God, and what it means to us in the doctrine of election and the revelation of the gospel of Christ, I want to tell you right now, I can leave here shouting happy tonight. You know that? If the government doesn't send me a Social Security check, I want it. I want to tell you right now. Y'all do too. I want to sit on the porch and get it. But I want to tell you right now, if I never get one, I want to tell you right now, I'm going to leave shouting happy. You know why? Because I've got something in my heart money can't buy. I've got something in my heart that a thief can't steal. I've got something in my heart that moth and rust can't corrupt. You know why? I've got it down there because the Lord Jesus Christ, by his purpose, put it there when he got ready. That was his intent. He does it to you, to me, the infant, the adult, to Abraham, to Paul. God never has had two ways of salvation. And you know what? I'm going to agree with Jacob. When he saw those wagons coming, it's enough. Thank you.
A few more years shall work.